Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. The Sierra Club San Diego has filed a lawsuit against the county over supervisors' approval of a big housing development near Lake Jennings in Lakeside. Find out why on our show today. Seeking to reduce San Diego's high rate of jail deaths, Sheriff Kelly Martinez has approved random screenings of employees and contractors at all county jails. On Tribal Beat, we'll have a special report on congressional legislation that would add 172 acres to the Hamul Indian Village Reservation. Find out what this historically disadvantaged tribe hopes to do with these lands and why some in the surrounding community have concerns. The City of El Cajon has commissioned a report on the future of the Parkway Plaza Regional Shopping Mall, and we'll tell you what a re-envisioned mall might look like on our show today. San Diego County Democratic Chair Rebecca Taylor has died in a tragic accident, and we'll have reactions today from local leaders. Borrego Springs Fire and Medical Services have gotten a boost from the county, and we'll have details. From California News Service, hear a report on workers' rights during extreme heat. Then on Destination East County, hear about some awesome August events coming up, including the Mount Helix Food and Wine Festival, summer jams at Santee Lakes, live music at Julian Heroes Restaurant, outdoor concerts in El Cajon, sunset train rides at the historic Campo Depot, a summer twilight walk at Mission Trails Regional Park, and live music at Sequan, including the Jacksons. How safe is a battery energy storage facility planned for La Mesa? The city manager has some answers after concerns raised over a major fire at a larger battery energy storage site in Otay Mesa prompted evacuations for almost 2 weeks. On Crime Beat, the sheriff seeks leads in a multiple shooting incident last year in Spring Valley that injured 5 people, including children. Hear how landfills across California are being utilized to convert methane to energy. Plus, minors on Medi-Cal can now consent to mental health treatment. Then we'll take you on the road to San Diego's beautiful backcountry, sharing some ideas for sightseeing and adventures in our inland region. Learn about a summer reading program in county libraries and about a new law limiting how much landlords can charge for security deposits. And finally, with those temperatures soaring, we'll have some tips to keep your pets safe in this hot summer weather. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show, where East County matters.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
After San Diego supervisors unanimously approved the Green Hills Ranch housing development in Lakeside near Lake Jennings earlier this month, the Sierra Club filed a lawsuit against the county and Atlas Real Estate seeking to block the project. David Hogan, Legal Committee Chair for Sierra Club's San Diego chapter, says Green Hills Ranch is textbook wasteful urban sprawl development on open space in a fire-prone area. Sierra Club supports real infill projects that are close to transportation services and include affordable housing. This project does neither, he says. The environmental group contends that the county erred in calling the project infill in order to justify approval. Instead, the suit contends the project will add to traffic congestion and air pollution, also putting residents at increased risk of wildfires. California courts have recently blocked several other sprawling housing developments in rural areas, citing heightened fire danger. Most recently, land in Proctor Valley slated for Otay Ranch housing that has since been protected as open space through a land swap. Sierra Club's suit argues that the Green Hill Ranch project would also endanger the coastal cactus wren, gnatcatchers, and other rare species within the Lake Jennings Wildcat Canyon Biological Resources Core area. Noting that San Diego County is a biodiversity hotspot and that the county has established conservation goals, Sierra Club Chapter President Lisa Ross said Green Hills Ranch would violate not just the spirit, but the law protecting San Diego's unique habitat. Greenfield Ranch, proposed by Atlas Real Estate, would include 63 single-family homes built on 17 acres of the 36-acre site, with 9 acres dedicated as open space and the rest reserved for slopes, detention basins, and limited building zones. Atlas issued this statement: "The unanimous vote by the Planning Commission and Board of Supervisors supports that we've addressed all the concerns that the Sierra Club raised," 10 News reports. The county does not comment on pending litigation. A Planning Commission report found that the project would not significantly impact residents evacuating the area in the event of a fire, and concluded that the site has adequate fire evacuation routes, water access, and emergency services. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
San Diego County Sheriff Kelly Martinez has announced that random screenings for drugs and contraband will be implemented for all workers at county jails, as well as for contractors and others with business in county detention facilities, though not public visitation areas. Belongings will also be screened. To protect security, the details, locations, and frequency of screenings is not being disclosed. However, a sheriff's canine dog trained to detect drugs will be present. Staff screenings have been advocated for in recent years by the Citizens Law Enforcement Review Board. The action aims to further reduce San Diego's high rate of in-custody deaths. In 2022, a state auditor report found that 185 people died in San Diego County jails from 2006 to 2020. Since then, Sheriff Kelly Martinez has rolled out many reforms which have reduced jail deaths, most of which occurred in people being held awaiting hearings. Her actions have reduced, but not eliminated, jail deaths. 6 people have died in custody locally so far this year. A sheriff's media release acknowledges contraband and drugs entering our facilities pose a significant threat to incarcerated persons and our staff. The first priority was to improve intake procedures and medical screenings, since over 70% of arrestees entering jail facilities have illicit substances in their systems. The contraband and narcotics interdiction team began as a pilot project in January 2023 at the San Diego Central Jail. The focus was on stopping drugs and other contraband during the booking process. That since expanded to 2 other booking facilities at Las Colinas in Santee and the Vista Detention Facility. That program has reduced overdose incidents in county jails by 27%. Since it began last year, deputies have confiscated over 1,000 grams of fentanyl from incarcerated persons entering county detention facilities. Sheriff Martinez notes that can translate into saving the lives 522,700 people, since just 2 milligrams of fentanyl can be lethal. Since taking office in January 2023, Sheriff Martinez has made other steps to improve safety for those in county jails. Those steps include improving health and drug screening at intake, offering enhanced medical and mental health care services, providing wellness checks for the most vulnerable individuals, expanding the medication-assisted treatment program to help those with addictions, issuing body-worn cameras for deputies in jail, and providing direct access to naloxone for incarcerated persons, helping to reverse overdoses and save lives, and now rolling out random screenings for employees and contractors in county jails. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Tidwell.
This is East County Magazine's Tribal Beat, bringing you news for and about our region's Native American communities.
The Senate Committee on Indian Affairs heard impassioned testimony on July 11th from Jamul Tribal Chairwoman Erica Pinto, speaking in favor of Senate Bill 3857, the Jamul Indian Land Transfer Act authored by California Senator Alex Padilla. The measure would place in trust 4 land parcels, totaling 172 acres, into the Jamul Indian Village Reservation, lands that the tribal chair says are needed for tribal members' housing, reuniting the scattered community, protecting cultural resources, and providing services for tribal members, such as health care and education. The bill is identical to H.R. 6443, Congressman Daryl Issa's bill, which has already passed the House of Representatives. But the measures have drawn opposition from the Hamul Dilzura Community Planning Group, which was not consulted about the measures and not allowed to present testimony on July 11th at the hearing. The planning group's chair sent a letter to the Committee on Indian Affairs chairman and the authors of both bills, outlining concerns, including whether commercial development could occur, as well as objections over the land transfer process bypassing local input. Chairwoman Erica Pinto testified, "The tribe desperately needs additional trust lands so that it may preserve and protect its cultural sites and develop housing for its members, a health clinic, a grocery store, tribal administrative offices, law enforcement, educational services, and other community resources in service of the tribe's members." She says if the bill wins passage, the federal government would be helping the tribe to honor its ancestors and their sacrifices in order to remain and prosper in the place that we have always called home. She outlined a detailed history of the tribe's challenges and ordeals since the Spaniards enslaved tribal members to build the missions and later losing their lands when the U.S. acquired California from Mexico. The tribe's reservation currently is just over 6 acres, one of the smallest in the U.S., part of the Kumeyaay Nation, also known as Degaño Indians, once under control by the Spanish mission, Hamul's tribal members have resided in the Hamul area for countless generations. Spanish records document an Indian settlement in Hamul in 1776. After the U.S. acquired California from Mexico, it doled out land grants to Mexican citizens who remained in California, leaving the Hamul tribe landless. In 1891, Congress passed the Mission Indians Relief Act and appointed the Smiley Commission to survey and select reservation lands for each band or village of Mission Indians. But the sole commissioner failed to visit any place south of Interstate 8, and so the Hamul band was ignored. The Hamul Native Americans, however, stayed on their ancestral land that also had a cemetery granted to the Catholic diocese, which built a church there and provided some protection for a small Indian village. Then in 1908, a special agent appointed by the federal government to investigate conditions for landless Indians described Californians as robbed, starving, helpless people for whom money intended for support had been appropriated. And yet the federal government focused its efforts on helping homeless Indians, again ignoring the Hamul people who were living on then private land owned by the church. It wasn't until 1981 that the tribe was formally organized under the Indian Reorganization Act and granted trust lands for a reservation of just 4.6 acres. The Hamul Indian Village was provided another 1.3 acres in 1982, bringing the total to just about 6 acres. Seeking economic development, the tribal majority opted to build a casino, which opened in 2016, followed by a rooftop entertainment and event venue. A handful of tribal members opposed the casino construction, and they were displaced against their will, though the majority of tribal members voluntarily moved off the reservation in order for the tribe to build economic prosperity. The tribe is now building a hotel on its original reservation land in addition to its casino. Both the casino and hotel have faced opposition from some members of the broader community who have objected to traffic and loss of rural character. Recently, Hamul Indian Village has been purchasing land near its reservation in hopes of bringing those properties into trust to bring its scattered tribal members back onto the reservation lands and create a tribal community. The Senate bill would, if passed by the Senate and signed by President Joe Biden, bring 4 parcels into trust for the reservation. The first parcel has 161 acres near the reservation within its ancestral lands, including the former Simpson's Nursery and Barrett House sites. According to Pinto, the tribe wants to build housing for tribal members here, as well as tribal administrative offices, a health clinic, child care center, tribal educational services, a community center, law enforcement offices, and other community resources to support cultural and community restoration. Parcel 2 is 6 acres just north of the reservation, which the tribe says it would use for essential services and community resources to tribal members. Parcel 3 is just over 4 acres, with a road that provides the only access to the tribe's reservation, church, and ancestral cemetery. The tribe wants this to preserve access to its reservation and cultural landmarks. Parcel 4 is just under an acre, with the church and ancestral cemetery that the tribe hopes to place in trust to preserve for future generations. The tribe is also proposing a separate land swap of about an acre to expand the cemetery in trade for giving wildlife habitat to the federal government. Chairwoman Pinto testified, "The tribe will use this land solely for the purposes described above in an effort to protect the cultural identity, resources, and history of the tribe." The Senate bill prohibits these lands from being used for gaming, so no casinos or other gambling establishments could be built there. But the bill does not expressly prohibit other commercial development, raising concerns among some community members over potential for large entertainment or other commercial uses in the future, unless an amendment is added to prohibit such things. The Hummel-Dulzura Planning Group also opposes the Land Transfer Act as a means of land trust acquisition. Instead, Planning Group Chair Kevin May, in a letter to the chair of the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs, says there is a federally recognized process through the Bureau of Indian Affairs and the Department of the Interior for handling land-to-trust applications, which will engage the local community and the Community Board of Supervisors in resolving land use issues, jurisdictional conflicts, and provide the planning and resources to ensure public safety as our community expands with commercial entertainment venues by the Hummel Casino, he wrote. He notes that the parcels are not contiguous and that the tribe began buying up parcels after defaulting on debts and ousting Penn National Gaming, which owns a 100-acre parcel that is adjacent to the reservation, which he says should be considered instead. In a letter to Congressman Issa, the planning group asks, will event centers and entertainment venues and other commercial ventures be permissible on these parcels? But so far, that question has not been answered. Their letter also cites an increase in traffic on State Route 94, with an average of over 13,000 daily trips attributed to casino traffic. The planning group notes that the tribe has not completed some of the mitigation required by an intergovernmental agreement in 2016 when the casino was built, and they worry about clogged traffic on the main highway used for wildfire evacuations. The Senate committee did not yet vote on the Senate bill. Our call to Senator Padilla's office asking for clarification on potential commercial uses of the land was not returned. Senator Issa issued this statement upon House passage of his bill. The Hummel Indian Village has endeavored for years to facilitate the best ways for tribal members to move onto reservation land in order to raise their families, preserve their native culture, and honor tribal customs and practices. This fee-to-trust bill grants this historic tribe an opportunity to do just that, says Issa, adding, by placing Hummel's land into trust, our legislation safeguards the reservation, its sacred sites, and Kumeyaay traditions, so they will endure far into the future. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
At KNSJ, our mission is to reflect voices and views across our diverse region. That's why our programming includes Native American news, Spanish language programming, coverage of issues facing immigrants, refugees, the homeless, working people, inner city and rural residents, and others whose voices are too often not heard in other media. Please help support and sustain KNSJ, your network for social justice, by donating or making a sustaining pledge at www.knsj.org.
With online sales taking a bite out of retail traffic, shopping malls across the U.S. are struggling and some have closed down. Seeking to avoid that scenario, the City of El Cajon commissioned a market analysis envisioning redevelopment opportunities for Parkway Plaza, East County's largest regional shopping mall. Council members on July 9th unanimously favored a motion to begin the next step toward transforming Parkway Plaza into a mix of residential, retail, office, restaurants, sports bars, and entertainment, all centered around a linear park. Daisy Molina, general manager of Parkway Plaza, says, Parkway Plaza is grateful for the City of El Cajon's interest and investment in the future of the shopping center. We are truly excited to see the city's vision and look forward to the potential of working with them to continue evolving the property to meet the needs of our community. Hunden Partners, a leading advisor in destination real estate, paired with 505 Design to conceptualize two plans for Parkway Plaza as an epicenter or heartbeat of the community, a place to work, play, visit, and shop. One redevelopment plan reduces the physical interior of the mall by 50%, replacing a portion with housing and other uses. Carl Okazaki, with 505 Design, pictures a vision that concentrates the strongest tenants on one end, peeling back the mall to the center food court, and reinventing its staple movie theater into an outdoor dining scene with a smaller section of retail, restaurants, or office spaces, and residential properties. An alternative option would keep the existing mall, but eliminate Walmart on the south side. By eliminating Walmart and repurposing one of the parking decks, a development of 300 to 350 residential units could provide homes as well as 500 blue-collar jobs during the construction process. This alternative blueprint would keep the former Macy's building, owned by Tourmaline Capital, and the former Sears store, owned by Citivest, utilizing it as a shell for another tenant. With dining on either end, an indoor concourse would head west to an outdoor pedestrian promenade, anchoring those tenants under two ownership groups. Hundin says having people living on site could generate frequent visits as opposed to once a month. Council member Gary Kendrick said, "I think we need to do something with that mall because it may end up like many other malls that become defunct, and that's one of our major sales tax generators," adding, "We don't want that to happen." Council member Michelle Mitchell suggests these upgrades would be good for the community and help reduce crime. In addition, she said, "I think that we will keep our residents here if we have entertainment spots, venues that will keep the younger kids here once they get old enough to have families or be out on their own." Brenda Hammond, a meeting attendee and longtime resident of Lemon Grove, started going to Parkway Plaza in 1972. She voiced hope that the next generation will continue to gather at the mall for silly, fun times. Constraints from different landowners will need more financial analysis, according to Vince DiMaggio, the assistant city manager. A big part of developing this further is sitting down with the stakeholders who own sections of the land, such as Starwood Capital Group, Tourmaline Capital, Citivest, and JCPenney. Total costs are estimated at $452 million, of which $164 million in gap funding is needed. The city of El Cajon and the private sector, comprised of three entities, according to Hundin, would be responsible for figuring out the gap funding, likely implemented through land use controls, zoning, and support from the Enhanced Infrastructure Financing District as a tool for this vision, according to DiMaggio. Hundin suggested the city consider a short-term investment to provide the city with a long-term benefit. Revitalizing Parkway Plaza is expected to have substantial economic benefits and is projected to increase the city's revenues by at least $10 million each year. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Tidwell.
Rebecca Taylor, chair of the San Diego County Democratic Party, has died of injuries sustained in a motorcycle accident in Utah. She was returning home from a trip when she was hit from behind. Her family was with her at the hospital. Kyle Crahill Frohlander is now acting chair of the county party. He says, "Becca made an incalculable impact on so many and moved San Diego toward a brighter future. She was more than just a leader. She was a public servant," he says, adding, "she embodied the best of us." Born in Texas, Taylor graduated from San Diego State University in 2011. She served as an aviation electrician in the Navy, where she also volunteered as a sexual assault victims advocate. She founded and served as first chair of the Veterans Caucus for California Young Democrats. Later, she was on the Ocean Beach Town Council and served as secretary of the Metro West Area Caucus. In addition, she was involved with the nonprofit Serving Seniors and was a volunteer manager with the San Diego Rapid Response Network, helping asylum seekers. Congresswoman Sarah Jacobs posted on X, "I'm heartbroken about Becca Taylor's passing. Becca devoted her life to serving others, from the Navy to advocating for sexual assault survivors to getting more people involved in our democracy. She was kind, funny, sharp, and endlessly selfless. I'll miss her." Congressman Scott Peters, recalls Taylor cheering on his campaign workers when she worked as an organizer for his 2014 campaign. Her infectious laugh, bright smile, and twinkle were ever present, he said, upon hearing of her passing. Today, we are mourning a great one, he adds. This is a brutalizing loss for us all. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from San Diego's East County.
San Diego Fire Protection District is making good on its promise a year ago to deliver fire protection, emergency medical services, and ambulance transportation in Borrego Springs, and major improvements are underway. Support for Borrego Springs joining the San Diego Fire Protection District was initiated by a community-led effort to make the vision a reality. The transition, which took place July 1st last year, began with a promise to improve service levels for the desert community's 4,000 residents. It also included welcoming 14 Borrego Springs firefighters to the Cal Fire San Diego Fire Team. San Diego County Fire appointed a Desert Battalion Chief to lead the Borrego Fire Station and added a new fire engine, paramedic ambulance, and a third firefighter on the engine to ensure equitable daily staffing. The team has begun renovating the fire station and an aging department administration building. County Fire and Cal Fire San Diego Chief Tony Meekum says, "Our ongoing efforts include plans to replace the fire station, ensuring continued long-term improvements in the community." Supervisor Jim Desmond says, "Ensuring that Borrego Springs has the best possible fire and medical services is crucial for the safety and well-being of our residents. This transition has significantly enhanced our community's emergency response capabilities." To engage and empower the community, County Fire conducted training sessions for local residents in essential skills such as cardiopulmonary resuscitation, or CPR, how to use an automated external defibrillator, home fire preparedness, earthquake response tactics, overdose intervention, and wildfire readiness. Borrego Springs resident Gloria Hoff says, "These offerings are critical in our small, rural, isolated community with limited resources." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Tidwell.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the Network for Social Justice, reflecting your interests, the public interest, not special interests.
California has shattered heat records left and right this month, and temperatures are forecast to be 10 degrees above normal this weekend. So the state wants to remind workers of their right to shade, free cold water, and rest breaks. Employers are required to train workers on how to prevent heat-related illness. Charlene Gloriani with the California Division of Occupational Safety and Health says employers must provide shade when the temperature climbs to over 80 degrees.
When temperatures exceed 95 degrees, a buddy system should be in place and employees must be monitored for signs of heat illness. Also, cool-down rest periods are required every 2 hours.
She adds new workers must be watched for their first 2 weeks on the job to make sure they are acclimatized to the heat. In June, the Occupational Safety and Health Standards Board passed new regulations regarding excessive heat in indoor workplaces, rules that are expected to take effect in the next few months. Gloriani says the indoor rules come into play when it is at least 82 degrees inside.
The indoor heat regulation requires employers to assess the indoor temperatures, and generally, if it's above 87 degrees, cool the workplace or implement other engineering controls.
Workers who see abuses of heat policies are encouraged to file a complaint with Cal OSHA. You can enter your zip code on the agency's website to find the office nearest your worksite. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for San Diego's inland region. Now, stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
Welcome to East County Magazine's Destination East County, bringing you all of the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County each week.
This is Miriam Raftery with this week's Destination East County. August has some amazing events for summertime fun, including the Mount Helix Food and Wine Festival, summer jams at Santee Lakes, live music at Julian Heroes Restaurant, outdoor concerts in El Cajon, sunset train rides at the historic Campo Depot, a summer twilight walk at Mission Trails Regional Park, and live music at many venues, including Sequan, featuring Low Cash and the Jacksons, and many local artists at the Hacumba Bathhouse Bazaar. You're invited to join the Mount Helix Park Association at the Mount Helix Food and Wine Festival. The fun starts Friday night, August 16th, with the Flamingo Fling sit-down dinner and swing dancing to live music by the Flyboys, followed by the main festival on Saturday, August 17th at the Mount Helix Park with the theme Palm Springs Fling, featuring food and wine sampling, art, music, and breathtaking views from atop Mount Helix. All proceeds benefit the Mount Helix Park Foundation. For tickets, visit mounthelixpark.org/festival. Santee Lakes invites you to its summer jams, performed on the deck at Lake 4. Ramona artist Ashley Norton will perform on Thursday, August 8th, followed by Summer Breeze on Friday, August 23rd, with songs reminiscent of Steely Dan, Hall & Oates, Yacht Rock, and the 70s. Then, on August 24th, Haley Peterson wraps up the month's music. All concerts run from 5 to 7 p.m. For details, visit SanteeLakes.com. You can also enjoy live music on Friday and Saturday nights through August at 6 p.m. at Julian Heroes Restaurant and Bar in Julian. Friday, August 2nd features Punk Grass. Saturday, August 6th is Jumpstart. Friday, August 6th has Haywire. Saturday, August 10th is Blue Largo. The 16th is Lucky Strikes. Saturday, August 17th, Soul Frenzy. Friday, August 23rd, Carefree Highway. And Saturday, August 24th, Jeff Berkeley. Then on Friday, August 30th is Enter the Blue Sky, and rounding it off Saturday, August 31st, Gimme Back My Wig. Find more details at julianheroes.com. El Cajon's Dinner and a Concert series continues every Friday night in August from 6 to 8 p.m. on Prescott Promenade in downtown El Cajon. The lineup features Stone Soul on August 2nd, Ronstadt Revival August 9th, Trey Hill Band August 16th, The Heroes August 23rd, and on August 30th, Billy Nation. For updates and event news, visit downtownelcajon.com. Pacific Southwest Railway Museum in Campo hosts rides aboard a historic train every Saturday and Sunday in August at several times between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. There are also special sunset train rides on Saturday nights all summer long. You can relax while the San Diego countryside rolls by during a pleasant round-trip train ride on the historic San Diego and Arizona Railway. The Golden Stage, the museum's classic weekend excursion. Depart from the Campo Depot for the approximate 45-minute ride after visiting the museum's gift shop and ticket office. For tickets and details, visit psrm.org. That's Pacific Southwest Railway Museum. Join Mission Trails Regional Park Trail Guides for a special twilight summer walk on August 17th from 7 to 9 p.m. You can learn about changes that occur at dusk as the sun goes down. Meet at the parking lot at the corner of Bushy Hill Drive and Father Nuitbro Serra Trail across from Kumeyaay Lake Campground. Bring a flashlight and extra clothing since it often cools down after the sun sets. For more information, you can visit mtrp.org/events. Low Cash will perform live at Sequan's River Venue on August 22nd at 8 p.m., where you can enjoy the show poolside or get a VP cabana and float to savor the music. Named country music's iconic feel-good duo by People magazine, Low Cash artists Preston Brust and Chris Lucas are known for their chart-topping hits such as I Love This Life, Feels Like a Party, and I Know Somebody. For tickets, visit sequan.com/events. And the Jacksons have been performing for 50 years, starting as the Jackson 5, vaulting to fame in Motown and launching Michael Jackson's solo career. They've been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Recording Academy's Grammy Hall of Fame. Now the Jacksons are coming to Sequan's Heritage Event Center for a performance on August 30th at 8 p.m. Tickets are available at sequan.com/events. And finally, there are live music concerts at the Bathhouse Bazaar, sponsored by the Hacumba Hot Springs Hotel. August artists include Francis Bloom and Nate Cole. Good gravy. Nikki Diamond and Marley Hall, Pete and Milas Molinari, Cripsotica, and Cretan Hop DJs at the Ritual Pool. You can find a full lineup at hakumba.com. That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
A battery fire at the Gateway Energy Storage Facility in Otay Mesa in May forced evacuation of nearby businesses for nearly 2 weeks. EnerSmart has proposed building a battery energy storage facility on El Paso Street in La Mesa. After the Otay fire, La Mesa City Manager Gray Humora recently sent an email to the mayor and city council members highlighting key differences between the Otay Mesa facility and a battery energy storage facility proposed by EnerSmart on El Paso Street in La Mesa. The two projects differ substantially in size, technology, and fire protection plans. The Otay site was a 250-megawatt warehouse system with all batteries housed together. In 2020, it was the largest location in the world. EnerSmart's proposed La Mesa project is a much smaller 3-megawatt containerized system. Containerized systems are more compact with a smaller footprint and less environmental disruptions than larger facilities during installation and operation. EnerSmart's project would use lithium iron phosphate, which is less prone to overheating and catching fire than the lithium-ion batteries at Otay. Since the Otay facility went online in 2020, there are new best management practices in place. All proposed battery storage systems must meet code and regulation requirements, including California's Fire Code, updated in 2022, and Senate Bill 38. These regulations set strict standards for battery energy storage facilities, including internal fire detection and suppression systems. SB 38 requires every battery storage facility in California to have an emergency response and emergency action plan covering the facility. Owners or operators must coordinate with local emergency management agencies to develop the plan and submit it to the city or county. The site development plan for EnerSmart's project in La Mesa, across the street from an SDG&E substation, was approved in July 2023 and no appeals were received. Last August 2023, the Design Review Board postponed consideration and asked for aesthetic improvements to a retaining wall and stone veneers. The applicant must also submit a hazard analysis and emergency response plan to be reviewed by a fire protection engineer subject matter expert hired by the city. The city manager says Heartland Fire and Rescue, the city's fire department, is trained in response approaches for battery energy storage events. The project has drawn some opposition, including from Amy Reichart, a former county supervisor candidate who lives across the street from the EnerSmart site. Reichart has previously voiced concerns about noise from the facility. When it comes to projects with unintended consequences, such as fires, she stated, I believe we should proceed cautiously. If the Design Review Board approves the project, any approval would be subject to ratification by the City Council. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Tidwell.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is Miriam Raftery with the Crime Beat Report. The San Diego County Sheriff's Office wants the public's help in identifying and locating possible suspects in connection with the shooting in Spring Valley that happened back on November 18th of last year, around 8 p.m., deputies from the Rancho San Diego Sheriff's Station responded to a call of a shooting in the 9,000 block of Ildica Street in Spring Valley. When they arrived, they found five people had suffered gunshot wounds. Deputies immediately began to render aid. The victims were taken to area hospitals for treatment. Additionally, two children suffered burn wounds caused by the shooting. The children were taken to Rady Children's Hospital for treatment. Surveillance footage captured a silver-colored 2008 to 2014 model Mercedes-Benz C-Class sedan arriving and leaving the area around the time of the shooting. Sheriff's detectives say there may have been multiple suspects involved in this incident. If you witnessed the shooting or you have any information about suspects, please call the sheriff's office at 619-596-1420. You can also call Crime Stoppers Anonymous tip line at 888-580-8477 or visit sdcrimestoppers.org. Crime Stoppers is offering up to a $1,000 reward for anybody with information that leads to an arrest in this case.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
Dozens of landfills across California are now generating power, converting the methane gas emitted by decomposing food waste into energy. The Puente Hills landfill in LA County closed in 2013, but is now the largest landfill gas-to-energy system in the country, producing enough energy to power about 70,000 homes. Mike Backus is with Ameresco, a company that designs, builds, and operates renewable energy plants for landfills.
We either use it or lose it. Why wouldn't we use every drop and displace fossil fuels? So for every molecule of biogenic methane we use, one drop of natural gas stays in the ground.
The EPA's Landfill Methane Outreach Program has spurred a lot of activity in the biogas sector, and the Inflation Reduction Act provided tax deductions for landfills to install these systems. But Backus says more small landfills would put them in if the feds would allow investment tax credits to be used for financing. He says the feds should also permit landfill owners to benefit even if they don't own both the collection system and the energy processing plant. Daniel Brissett with the Environmental and Energy Study Institute says pipelines are expensive, so proximity to a customer who will buy the natural gas or electricity is key.
The operators, they would probably look at how much can we produce and then how close are we to where it can be used.
Studies show that food waste contributes more than half of fugitive methane emissions from municipal solid waste landfills. And landfills are the third largest human-generated source of methane, which contributes to climate change. This story was produced with original reporting by Miranda Lipton for the website Reasons to be Cheerful. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org. A new law just took effect in California that gives children on Medi-Cal, ages 12 and older, the right to consent to mental health care on their own. Before this, only youth on private insurance could consent to outpatient mental health services independently of their parents and only in cases where abuse is suspected or the child is in danger of self-harm. Joy Alafia with the California Association of Marriage and Family Therapists says there are close to 6 million youths on Medi-Cal.
For communities of color, you're looking at 61% of African American children, 59% of Latinx children, and 38% of Native and Indigenous children who are Medi-Cal recipients.
Supporters see this as an equity issue, allowing kids to get help for anxiety, depression, and suicidal thoughts regardless of their income. Opponents, including the Pacific Justice Institute, argue the law gives counselors too much power at the expense of parents, particularly parents with traditional religious beliefs regarding gender expression. Alafia says a law that allows kids with private insurance to seek mental health care without the parents' consent is about 10 years old now. She explains this new law expands that right to kids on Medi-Cal and still requires parental notification if the child wants to go to an overnight shelter.
This is about children being able to seek support, and it's not an intention to exclude the parents unless there's a concern about safety or harm to the child. Other than those scenarios, there is engagement with the parents as well.
Families in need of mental health assistance can call the California Parent and Youth Helpline at 1-855-427-2736 or go online to caparentyouthhelpline.org. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from San Diego's East County.
We're on the road in East County, visiting some amazing towns and meeting some incredible people across our region. Welcome to another adventure on East County Magazine's On the Road.
This is Miriam Raftery taking you on the road to San Diego County's backcountry, which includes rural, mountain, and desert communities. Our unincorporated backcountry area, though seemingly quiet, is actually alive with opportunities for adventure and local events. Aside from the lure of the open road on one of San Diego's most scenic highways, such as oak and boulder-studded Old Highway 80 or beautiful State Route 79, there are barbecues, fairs, country markets, art and music shows, farms open for tours, yard sales, horseback riding, and a shimmering lake tucked into the scenery along the way. San Diego's backcountry offers Airbnb experiences in towns such as Campbell Boulevard, Guate, Descanso, Julian, Pine Valley, and Hacumba Hot Springs, or you can stay at the more than century-old Julian Hotel. There are also plenty of opportunities to try new things and meet new friends. How about family-friendly karaoke night every Thursday at Pine Valley House in Pine Valley? Or maybe you're craving a lively country-flavored concert. Where Highways 79 and 80 meet in the village of Descanso, the Junction Outback is a wild outdoors venue behind the Descanso Junction restaurant. They celebrate summer there with live music every Friday and Saturday night in the summer months. Guate Mountain Native Plant Nursery in Guate, between Descanso and Pine Valley, makes a beautiful stop on the weekend along a sunny drive on Old Highway 80. And nearby, you'll find the Treon Wooden Spoon Gallery, a treat to visit with its art glass and wooden spoon collection. Lake Cuyamaca on Highway 79, heading into Julian, is beautiful any time of year, with fishing, hiking, and glimpses of wildlife from deer to bald eagles. The popular pub at Lake Cuyamaca offers a lake view dining experience. The kids' trout fishing derby there is planned in September, where Fishing in the Pines has become an exciting yearly gathering with picnicking and a slew of prizes. If you venture further up Highway 79 to Julian, a historic gold rush town famous for its apple pie, you can stroll its quaint streets and choose from several great eateries, try your hand at gold panning, or take a tour of the California Wolf Center nestled in the hills nearby. Or venture up Sunrise Highway toward Mount Laguna, a popular destination for snowgoers in winter as well as campers in spring, summer, and fall. Mount Laguna is one of the first camping areas that Pacific Crest trail hikers encounter along their trek. Hacumba Hot Springs, 29 miles southeast of Pine Valley, at the farthest reaches in San Diego's backcountry, is enjoying a rebirth of popularity with a bazaar the first Saturday each month from 10 to 2 at the old bathhouse landmark in the center of town. Visiting musicians also play there to stars and candlelight. Now, folks can catch an art exhibit, too, at the old bathhouse, or visit Gilliam Gallery across the highway after strolling along the lakes and dunes. The Hacumba Hot Springs Hotel has recently been renovated and reopened. The Desert View Tower, just east of Hacumba, near the Imperial County line, is a cherished landmark and camping spot overlooking the desert above Ocotillo. Its famous Boulder Park provides a rare adventure with hidden trails, caves, and charming rock carvings. Further east, Anza Borrego Desert State Park, which is partly in San Diego County, provides wildflower viewing in spring, hiking, a visitor center, famous resorts, golf, bighorn sheep to see, whimsical sculptures, and stargazing after dark. Along I-8 and Alpine, you can stop to dine at local restaurants or enjoy a cold beer at a brewery. The Viejas Native American Reservation in Alpine has an outlet center with bowling and an arcade for the kids, as well as a casino and hotels. Other Native American reservations in East County offer attractions ranging from casinos to campgrounds, golf, restaurants, and at Barona in Lakeside, a Native American cultural museum. In late summer, Barona and Sequan host powwows with competitions featuring Native American dancers, drummers, bird singers, and vendors. You can also savor wine tasting at the many wineries in the Ramona wine region, as well as wineries in other areas such as Campo and Jamul. Campo is also home to the Pacific Southwest Railway Museum, where you can take a ride aboard a historic train. Ramona also has a camel dairy and the historic Guy B. Woodward Museum. Drop down Highway 78 to cruise through Lakeside, which is home to several county parks for scenic hikes, as well as the Lakeside Rodeo Grounds. Exploring San Diego's backcountry is popular with individuals and families. Our backcountry is also a favorite destination for motorcycle and classic car clubs. Bicyclists also take advantage of the route they call the Southern Tour on their way to the east coast of the U.S. Besides year-round attractions, many towns in East County's backcountry also have unique festivals, parades, deep pit barbecues, and other special events that you can find on our calendar at eastcountymagazine.org.
Our East County Magazine radio show needs volunteers, and so does our award-winning news website at eastcountymagazine.org. If you would like to help write scripts, learn reporting skills, research topics for our news team, or have an on-air voice to be the media, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617.
This is John Tidwell with a public service announcement from San Diego County Library. Do you or your children like to read, learn, and earn prizes? This summer, you can do all three. The County Library Summer Learning Challenge is back. This summer's challenge runs now through August 31st. Register online or at any of the 33 county libraries, read some books, have some fun, engage in some new activities, and you could just earn a prize, from achievement badges to a new book or your choice of a library tote bag. The Summer Challenge is open to people of all ages, but its main goal is to encourage kids and teens to read during their summer vacations. That can help prevent what some educators call the summer slide, where students can lose some of what they achieved during the school year. Taking part is easy. Just come into your local library to register or do it online. First, pick up a printed learning log in any of the 8 languages at a county library branch, or print one out at home to track your progress. Then, over the 3-month challenge, track what you read and mark the activities you complete in the log to win prizes. Activities can include answering questions, submitting a drawing, or trying out a new recipe. You can win achievement badges by completing educational activities, reading books, spending hours reading, submitting book reviews, or a combination of those. You don't even have to come into the library to check out books or read, since the county's e-book collection is available to everyone using your library card through the library's online OverDrive platform, or by downloading the Libby app and connecting to the library. If you don't already have a county library card, you can do that online or at a branch just by using your cell phone number. To sign up for the Summer Learning Challenge, drop into any county library branch or visit the San Diego County Library site, sdcl.org/summer.
This is Miriam Raftery with some important news for renters. Since July 1st, a new law prohibits many landlords from charging renters more than 1 month's rent as a security deposit. The law does not apply to smaller landlords who own only one or two properties with a total of 4 units or less. Assembly Bill 12, authored by Assemblymember Matt Haney of San Francisco, aims to end exorbitant security deposits of double or even triple the monthly rent that some landlords have been charging. Massive security deposits could create insurmountable barriers to housing affordability and access for millions of Californians, says Haney, who chairs the California Legislature's Renters Caucus. San Diego County has one of the highest housing costs in the nation, with rent skyrocketing in recent years. According to Haney's office, 53% of California renters indicate that they are able to afford their rent, but they're unable to get an apartment because they simply can't afford to pay that 2 months' rent as a security deposit. This pushes many families, including those with individuals making minimum wage, to either forego necessities such as food and utilities or acquire more debt to be approved for housing. For some, it can also lead to homelessness. Massa Faludi, The executive director of California Immigrant Policy Center says in California's high-cost rental market, expensive security deposits are often imposed on immigrants and people of color, effectively limiting access to safe and affordable housing. By capping high security deposits, AB 12 advances a measure of equity and empowers immigrants and people of color across the state who contribute daily to making our diverse state thrive. But a landlord that East County Magazine spoke with said the change could also discourage landlords from taking a chance on renting to people with bad credit ratings or no credit at all. AB 12 does not affect potential liability, so landlords will still be able to seek damages from tenants who cause damage to property that exceeds the amount of the security deposit.
You're listening to the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for San Diego's inland region. Now, stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
As temperatures soar, the county has opened cool zones at locations such as libraries, but many of these do not accept pets. Fortunately, leashed pets of all breeds, shapes, and sizes are welcome at Petco pet care centers nationwide. Water is provided in disposable bowls, which helps limit the risk of disease transmission. Petco is sharing veterinarian-approved tips to help keep your furry friends safe and cool during this time and throughout the summer. First, prioritize hydration. Pets should always have access to fresh, clean, and safe water. In addition to fresh drinking water, pets can also access shade in Petco locations, as just a few minutes of direct sunlight in extreme temperatures can risk heat exhaustion. Signs of overheating and dehydration in pets include panting, drooling, deep or rapid breathing, weakness, disorientation, and vomiting. If pets start to exhibit any of these symptoms, move them to a cool, shaded area immediately, give them fresh water, and contact a veterinarian if symptoms worsen. Just as children should not be left in a car unattended, pet parents should never leave pets in a car in the heat, since temperatures can skyrocket in a matter of minutes. Also, adjust your walking routine. Prioritize cooler times of day for walks, and remember that sidewalks can get hot for pets' paw pads. Seek cooler surfaces like dirt or grass to help keep pets comfortable. If you can't comfortably place your hand on the ground for at least 7 seconds, then it's too hot for dogs' paws. Stock up on summer essentials. Invest in a pair of booties for extra protection. To prevent your pets from getting a sunburn, avoid excessive sun exposure and apply a pet-safe sunscreen to their ears, nose, and anywhere else they have bare skin or thin fur, Petco advises. Keep up with regular grooming to help pups stay cool in warm weather. This is especially important for dogs with long or thick coats. And finally, if you go hiking during the heat, consider leaving your pet at home, since many pets have suffered heat exhaustion or even died on local trails during hot weather. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
You're listening to the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for San Diego's inland region.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, AK Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show, or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show. At KNSJ, our mission is to reflect voices and views across our diverse region. That's why our programming includes Native American news, Spanish language programming, coverage of issues facing immigrants, refugees, the homeless, working people, inner city and rural residents, and others whose voices are too often not heard in other media. Please help support and sustain KNSJ, your network for social justice, by donating or making a sustaining pledge at www.knsj.org.